Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
We're negotiating all day long, every day. And if you are dealing with a narcissist in your life, then that goes for you a millionfold. It's like on steroids because narcissists are constantly negotiating with you. And one of the ways that they do that is by testing you.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung. This is Negotiate Your Best Life, which is a podcast that I started because I wanted people to understand that we're not negotiating just for the things that we traditionally think about negotiation for, but we're negotiating all day long, every day. And if you are dealing with a narcissist in your life, then that goes for you a millionfold. It's like on steroids because narcissists are constantly negotiating with you. And one of the ways that they do that is by testing you and testing their victims, target, whatever word you want to use. But they're testing you not in the way that you might think traditionally. I mean, sometimes people think that they're being tested to see if they're going to measure up or something. And that's the case with narcissists as well. But it's even more than that for a narcissist. They test their victims really kind of right from the beginning because they want to know if you are going to be a good source of narcissistic supply for them. So in order for me to explain what happens when narcissists are testing victims, it's really important that you understand the concept of narcissistic supply. And in order for you to understand the concept of narcissistic supply, it's really important to understand what's going on with a narcissist to begin with. So what's going on with a narcissist is that they have no inner sense of value. They have to get all of their value from the external world in some way. So they're constantly looking for a way to get that external value. Something happened with them when they were children, probably 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. Everything that I've read has said it's happened, you know, when they were children at some point. And they just drew a conclusion from the world that they weren't valuable in some way. And the interesting thing about it is that it definitely comes from, you know, being neglected or abused in some way or something traumatic happened. They also say that it can happen with children who are overly indulged. And a lot of times children who are overly indulged, you know, they've kind of been testing out their parents to see, do you care enough about me to discipline me, to show me the way, to give me boundaries. The funny thing is, like, just kind of off tangent for a second, before I became a lawyer years ago, I was an elementary school teacher in an inner city, and I was super strict with these kids. And they got very, very attached to me. And on the days when a substitute teacher would come in and it was complete anarchy and had havoc, the kids didn't actually like that. So, you know, they were little six-year-olds, little first graders. And when I would come back after being off for a day, they'd come running up to me and hug me. And it was like their security was there. So even overindulging children, even though it might seem like you're being nice to them at the time, they're actually learning about security in the world and is the world a safe place and are there boundaries for me? Like, where's my security? Where's my foundation? So somewhere in the pathology of a narcissist was some situation in their childhood where they drew a conclusion that they didn't have value internally, that there was something inherently wrong with them. So they move forward in the world with this belief that in order to get anything, in order to get anything that they want at all, they have to get it. They have to suck it from anywhere and anyone that they possibly can. So I always say that they're sort of like the hollow chocolate Easter bunnies that, you know, they look really great on the outside, but there's nothing going on the inside. So they just don't have any ability to care for another human being. All of us have some level of, you know, probably narcissism is not the right word, but all of us want to feel seen, heard, and know that we matter. I mean, that's just part of being a human being. So, and a lot of us, you know, we need to say certain things in order for people to understand our value, especially like in a workplace setting. So, I mean, there's certainly nothing wrong with going to your boss and saying, I'm really good at what I do. And here are all the ways that I have contributed to your company. That doesn't make you a narcissist. That just makes you confident enough in your skills and in your abilities to bring it forward and let people know. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to matter in the world. We all have that. The continuum of being human goes from kind of, you know, that level to the level of all the way to the narcissism level, which is I only feel value if people recognize my value in the world. And on top of that, in order for me to have value, I have to put you down, cut you down, degrade you, devalue you, control you. I have to do all of these things because if I don't do these things, then somehow it will take away from me. Somehow something is wrong with me. Somehow I will cease to exist on the planet in some way. They come from a real place of lack. You know, we talk about scarcity versus abundance. There's very much a scarcity mentality. Very much, if I give anything away, then somehow I get less. Somehow the world is less for me. So that it's a very sad way of going about the world. And, you know, inside, if they really were to seek help, you know, they would probably have to admit that they feel extremely like they have no value, they're depressed, all sorts of things wrong with them. But they, you know, and I say wrong with them, wrong with the way that they think. But from what every psychologist I've ever spoken to, they can't be fixed, they can't be healed. They can't learn how to care for another human being. You're asking for love from a person who just simply cannot give it to you. It's like asking for a hug from someone who has no arms. They just can't physically, they don't know how to do it. You, from the psychologists that I've spoken to, what they have told me is that they can get to a point where they learn the behavior that they should engage in order to make it look more like they care, or at least make the people around them feel better. They can at least get to some point like that, but they really aren't able to get much past that. So that's, the narcissist in a nutshell. So narcissistic supply is anything that feeds their ego. So it's, I call it the two sides of narcissistic supply, the good side and the bad side. It's not really good or bad necessarily, but the good side would be the side of that we all, you know, get pleasure from when we are as human beings. So, you know, it beefs up our ego if somebody says nice things about us. So, you know, compliments or adulation, respect, money, all of those things, yes, of course, those are forms of narcissistic supply. But the other side of narcissistic supply for the narcissist is those other things that I was talking about, degrading, devaluing, debasing, judging, controlling, intimidation tactics, all the things that we know that narcissists engage in. I mean, gaslighting, triangulation, lining up their flying monkeys, that sort of thing. So they get narcissistic supply from that. And what you must understand when you're getting ready to understand how they test their victims is that narcissistic supply is their life force. It's their oxygen. It's their food. It's what they live on. It's what they, you know, it's like a wild animal out in the jungle constantly searching for prey because they're constantly searching for food. That's what a narcissist is doing. And not only do they get supply from their people, they have to almost like put them up on shelves or something so that they can, you know, if maybe get a form of supply from somebody even after they've discarded them or the other person has discarded the narcissist. If there's a chance that they can go back and get supply from that person, they'll keep that person around because, you know, it's worth it just to get supply out of that person. So how do narcissists test victims? From the minute that you are in their space, they're starting to test you. They're starting to look to see if you are going to be a good source of supply for them right away, right from the beginning. And that form of supply can be anything. It can be that, you know, you can make them look good because being attached to them gives them some sort of prestige. Maybe it will help them in business in some way. Maybe you have beefed up their ego by telling them how smart they are or how beautiful or handsome or good looking they are. You know, you buy into their stories. Maybe they can control you. So they start right away with testing you, testing to see if they're going to continue to get supply from you all throughout the relationship. And then, you know, from the beginning, right away to see if you're going to be a good form of supply. So they're looking to see if you're going to be loyal. They're looking to see if you're going to be committed, even if they treat you poorly, even if they devalue you, even if they treat you, you know, in an awful way. They're constantly looking to see. So, you know, in the beginning, it might be something like you're trying to say goodbye. And if you say goodbye to the narcissist first, they might take this as a rejection, even if it's, you know, a phone call and you know, you're just, they're trying to keep you on the phone. Oh, how come you want to hang up already? And, you know, and obviously, you know, the conversation has taken its course or you have to leave, you have to go to work or you're tired, you want to go to sleep. You know, they're going to try to keep you on the phone to make sure that they continue to have that control.
Coming up, more with Rebecca on how narcissists test victims.
As soon as you start seeing them, like, wanting to move in, I've often joked that no one falls in love faster than a narcissist who needs a place to live.
Is there something preventing you from having the happiness that you want or from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling can start helping you today. It's a safe, private online environment, and you're matched with your own licensed professional therapist. It's all online, so no uncomfortable waiting rooms. They have therapists in all areas, including depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, trauma, anger, family conflicts, even grief. Anything you share is confidential, and it's affordable. And in fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/breakingfree. Join 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp.com/breakingfree.
Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can learn more about how to deal with narcissists in episodes such as Narcissist Favorite Sayings.
So they don't want to have a conversation about what it is that you were trying to say. It's all about that you interrupted, you didn't let them finish, that their point was much more important than whatever it was that you were going to try to say. And now you're off on this tangent, all about that you interrupted them, and maybe it's that they didn't like the tone of how you said it. Narcissists hear tones like dogs hear whistles.
And now we return to today's show.
Another one is saying, I love you. If you don't say I love you as much as they do, then they start putting you in situations where you know, you can express this and feel their, you know, feed their ego. So you have to say it as much as they do, or they, you know, will be upset with you. Another way is silent treatment. And this is one of the biggest ones that they use. And, you know, they'll do this until you're the one to cave. They just won't speak to you, or they'll block you on the phone or something like that. Now, I get a lot of questions sometimes about what's the difference between going no contact and silent treatment. So silent treatment is something that the narcissist does to you to manipulate you and make you feel bad, and they want you to come running back to them, and, you know, whereas you going no contact is a form of protection for you. It's a form of you saying, I'm not going to take this anymore. It's time for me to move on with my life. And I know that as long as I don't go no contact, I continue to remain a source of supply for this narcissist, and I don't want to do that anymore. Plus, you know, it's just bad for your brain, and you know, they use all sorts of tactics to constantly manipulate you, make you feel bad. So it's just for your own protection, your own sanity, your own healing, you have to eventually go no contact. So no contact is something that the target or victim or survivor, the person who has been the victim of the narcissist is the one that goes no contact normally. The narcissist is the one that engages in the silent treatment. They will do whatever they can to continue to get control over you. And if they know that, you know, going silent and blocking you is going to drive you crazy, then they will do that to get that control back over you and test you and see if you're going to go back and see if you're going to run back to them and say, oh no, please start talking to me again. I'm so sorry that I called you out on your behavior and said that you, you know, accused you of cheating, even though there was text messages in your phone or whatever. something like that. So that the silent treatment is a huge one and a huge way that narcissists test their victims. Another way narcissists test their victims is they want to change something about the way you look or a way about your personality or something like that. They'll say, you know, I don't like the way you're dressed. I don't like, I think that you need to lose weight, something like that. And they'll test to see if you'll actually do it. So if you're supposed to wear a certain shirt, that this is a test to see if you are actually going to do or consider even doing what they think that you should do. Another way that they test you is they say they're going to call you or show up at a certain day or time, and then they never do. Then they act as if, oh, you know, why are you upset? You know, you've been sitting by the phone or you've been waiting for them to show up or you made dinner and they never showed up. And then when you ask them about it, they just say, oh, they forgot or they had to work late or they got hung up with something. And then they act like you should have known that that was something that they had to do. And even if you had plans, too bad. And they want to see what your reaction is. They want to see how upset you are. And then they'll act like you're the one who's crazy, that you're the one who went off the rails. So then it's a great opportunity for them to gaslight you. So, and you know, and they want to know for sure that they can trust you. So another way that they test you is to see if they can go through your cell phone. And will you give them all of your passwords right away? Another way that they test you right away is, you know, seeing if they can move right in with you. How fast are you going to be in this relationship? How committed will you be? Right away, are you going to be committed immediately? Can they move right in with you? Can they be on your bank accounts right away? Are you going to be willing to talk about marriage right away or commitment? How about, you know, meeting your family or if you have children, how about meeting those people right away? You know, they're testing to see if you'll be immediately accepting them in all ways right away. So, another way that they will test you is to see if they tell you about their terrible exes or childhood or something bad that happened to them in the past. And they're going to want to know, how are you going to behave with that? You know, they had a terrible business partner before, something like that. How are you going to respond? Are you going to have lots and lots of empathy and, you know, offer to take care of them and offer to be there for them? You know, they're testing to see, can they get supply from that? Or they might tell you that they've had lots of sicknesses or illnesses or something like that. And, you know, how much are you going to be willing to take care of them in those situations? They're also going to see, how do you respond when they see you or when they call? You know, if you're not ecstatic to see them, then they're going to say, hey, what's wrong? You know, aren't you ecstatic to see me? Aren't you, you know, swept off your feet because I'm here? You know, right away, they're going to be looking for, you know, how are you behaving with them? And are they, you know, more important in your life than anybody else? You know, when you get there, if you're on the phone talking to your parents or something, do you hang up the phone right away? How about your children? If you have children, are you putting them before your children? So they're looking to see, you know, that's another way that they're testing you. So, you know, throughout the entire relationship, they're going to be testing you, but they're testing you right from the beginning to see how you're going to behave. Sometimes, you know, one of the other ways that they may test you is by flirting with other people. in your presence or letting you know that this other woman or this other guy thinks that they're so attractive. And how are you going to respond to that? Are you jealous? Are you upset? You know, trying to make you jealous is another way that they will behave or act. Another thing that they do is act like they really, really need your help with things, even if it's something that, you know, you should think that they would be able to do, you know, maybe like signing up for something online or something, you know, like they're testing to see, is this person going to be here for me at all times? And, you know, this is just talking about the testing phase. This doesn't, you know, I'm not talking here about the red flags, but, you know, the red flags are going to be abundant. You know, as soon as you start seeing them like wanting to move in, I've often joked that no one falls in love faster than a narcissist who needs a place to live. But it's kind of true because they really do move in super fast. And they're also testing you in a financial way sometimes. You know, are you going to pay for everything for them? How much money do you have? They might be looking to see, is this the person who can, you know, support me? And are they going to be willing to support me? So they'll start testing you in that way as well. So it really kind of goes from the beginning because, as I said, they need an endless amount of supply. So they're going to be looking for it from wherever they can. And more likely than not, they're also going to want to move in as fast as possible or move the relationship along as fast as possible. This is all during like the love bombing phase because they want to make sure that they're ensconced in and in total control of you before you get a chance to see what's actually going on here. So, so those are many of the ways that narcissists test you. There's probably 100 other examples, but you get the idea. Basically, they just want to know, is this person going to be a good form of supply for me? So, and they'll be testing you all the way through the relationship, through the love bomb phase, through the devalue phase, discard. Love bombing, devaluing, and discarding are the three phases of a narcissistic relationship, but they also are not mutually exclusive. They are definitely love bombing you as they're devaluing, or love bombing as they're discarding, or you're discarding. So, But the reason why they do everything that they do is just for the one thing. They just live for that narcissistic supply, and they're going to get it from you, or they're going to get it from wherever they can, wherever they can suck it from. And they're like the pods, you know, if they sit down next to you, they're trying to see if they can get supply from you because that's how they live and that's what they know. So that does it for today's show. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast, you can go ahead and do that. And I'd love, you know, if you would write us a review. I also have a YouTube channel, which I highly recommend you check out. I have tons more on narcissism on my YouTube channel, which is just youtube.com/Rebecca Zung. So I will connect with you there on YouTube or here on this show. So thanks so much for joining me today on this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.